Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to Red Inker. I'm Jared Kimber. This episode of Red Inker, we discuss the story of Cambodian women's coach Neil McDowell Williams. We also discuss Sri Lanka, Sussex, Peru, being a diplomat's wife, and setting up women's cricket in Cambodia.
First of all, thank you for having me, Jared. I'm Nilma. I'm officially known as Mrs. Nilma Doll Williams. I am the spouse of the British ambassador to Cambodia, which is a completely voluntary role. And I also am a volunteer cricket coach. So I, in addition to being an ECB England and Wales cricket coach back in the UK, I am also a cricket coach here in Cambodia, setting up after-school clubs and supporting the development and the inspiration for cricket here in Cambodia. So it's very exciting. And I'm also supporting the Cricket Federation of Cambodia in hopefully recruiting and setting up training, as well as coaching the Cambodian national women's cricket team. So building a legacy from scratch, which is not easy, but yeah, so I have many hats as a British ambassador's wife. Of course, I support and foster relations between Cambodia and the UK, so hosting lots of events and supporting visits when people, amazing people like celebrities, ministers, VIPs come from the UK. So we sometimes host almost every day too. Yeah, so it can be quite tricky changing clothes every day, but it's very rewarding. And we're really proud, my husband and I are very proud to support the British community and help serve the His Majesty's, you know, the work and the programs that we do in the UK, as well as bringing the best here to Cambodia. And also British interests and helping businesses thrive, flourish, whatever they need. We give them a lot of support over here. Using cricket as an empowerment sport to unite, especially Cambodia and the UK. That's a great way to get everyone together and build a community. I think everyone likes to talk about cricket, so it's good fun. And we're really happy to be here at a time like this, especially when Cambodia is thriving and, you know, just coming out of a pandemic, And I'm sure you would have heard of the Khmer Rouge, the dictatorship proper. So there's a lot of generational trauma here as well. So I do a lot in the way of female empowerment through sports, especially cricket. I do talks, I do empowerment, and it's so amazing and an honor to see especially women thriving and shining and growing from strength to strength. And all it takes is just a game like cricket to unite us all. So I firmly believe that cricket is the sport of peace. So, yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. Well, let's start with you. Where were you born? Where does your story start?
Okay, so I was born in Sri Lanka. I'm from a tiny, it's not really a city, it's mostly, we call it a village, it's called Kandy. And I come from a very multicultural, multi-religious and traditional family. So early on, I was told never to take to sport. So Sri Lanka was where I was born, but I never grew up there. So I can say, yeah. So I was born in Sri Lanka, but there was an ethnic conflict going on up until 2009. And my family, we moved to the United Arab Emirates. That's where I spent a considerable part of my childhood. And then we moved back to Sri Lanka when I was a teenager. But even though I went back, cricket was still part of me. I think in my first cricket match was at the Sharjah International Cricket Stadium. So I was very, very happy to see Sri Lanka play there. And 1996 World Cup, I mean, I was a young girl, and everybody in the Sri Lankan community came to our house and they were like cheering for Sri Lanka. And just to see Sri Lanka winning 1996 World Cup was just phenomenal. So, yeah, so I love Sri Lanka, but I'm British now and I support both countries in a way. So sometimes it's difficult in a cricket match to decide who to support. But I think, if everyone wins. So, yeah.
So you moved back as a teenager. And then when did you finally leave? What year was it that you finally left Sri Lanka?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I've done many things in my life. So I've got a degree from Australia in computer science. So random. And even though I knew cricket and knew the rules of the game, I was never encouraged. But when I went back to Sri Lanka after graduating and everything, I didn't really want to go back into an industry where I didn't feel passionate about. So not being able to grow up in Sri Lanka because of the civil conflict, I just had this guilty conscience and I wanted to serve Sri Lanka in some way. So I took to journalism, didn't tell my mother or my father. They were quite shocked when my name started appearing in the papers. And they were very worried because I worked at an independent newspaper initially when I first started my career as a young journalist. But unfortunately, due to the lack of freedom of speech and problems in Sri Lanka at the time, one day I came to the newspaper and they had just burned down our printing presses. I mean, it's just such a tragic time, you know, and a lot of my, I mean, not a lot, but a few of my colleagues were just arrested for no reason. And it was really a really difficult time seeing that as a young journalist. So my parents were worried for my safety and they were like, what are you doing? And I moved to the government propaganda newspaper. Yeah, so I was safe, but it was really good to be there for people. I mean, I remember covering the end of the war from 2007 to 2009, and it was difficult. And you know, you couldn't report because you were working for the government, but just being there with people and holding their hands and just knowing what the story was. And I was lucky. I did human interest stories. I did a defense column called Heroes Forever. So a soldier who would die in a conflict wasn't just a statistic. They were a person, somebody's loved one, somebody who was cared for, somebody who had a life. So I would go around entering their families and just bring that story to life and say, you know, this person, a soldier of ours, has died for their country. And it was quite emotional and powerful to highlight all of that. So I really, really loved doing my role, but it was quite tricky. You know, I didn't feel very comfortable not writing the truth. So, yeah. So, but I served my country as best as I served Sri Lanka as best as I could. And then I met my husband. He was a diplomat who was posted to Sri Lanka. And that's when we got married. And in 2012, I became a British diplomatic spouse.
And so at this stage, other than being a cricket fan, that you're not all that involved in cricket. So what happens from 2012 onwards when it comes to cricket?
Yeah, so I would just kind of reflect back a little bit on the journalism career. So I was very lucky, even though I reported on the war ended in 2009. So from 2009 to 2012, it was a booming time in Sri Lanka. Tourism was coming up, and I was really lucky, and I got the honour of interviewing of a 1996 World Cup squad, like Sana Jayasuriya and Ramesh Kalutharana and Aravind Suva. So I did know about cricket. So I was loosely kind of involved in reporting and stories of cricket, kind of just matches. I remember covering a ministers versus the MPs match or something, a charity match. But I never played cricket. I was just reporting on it. I was a cricket fan. I've been to R. Premadasa Stadium. I've been to cricket stadiums cheering on, obviously, Sri Lanka at the time. So that was kind of a touch of what I did back then. But I'm still not a player, like a full player. I know how cricket. So, yeah, so going back to your question, Jared, in 2012, I got married and just had a baby and then found myself in Peru, in Lima. So my husband and I got the posting to Peru for 4 years, but it was incredibly tough. It was really difficult because I didn't speak Spanish. I was with a young baby, pretty isolated, couldn't really socialize. And my husband was the deputy ambassador in Peru. But it was getting to know the diplomatic protocol, the way you should act, what to say and what not to say, which was incredibly tough for me as a former journalist, as you can imagine. But I came to Peru just not feeling happy. But we had this tournament that we supported, the British Embassy, called the Ambassadors Cup. So the ambassadors of the missions that play cricket, like South Africa, Australia, obviously, asked the British Embassy. We used to rustle up teams of whoever was like an expat or a diplomat there. And we used to play the Ambassador's Cup every year at the Lima Cricket Club. So this was really an important kind of sponsored festival and, you know, got a lot of sponsorship and got the ball rolling. So I went there and I was really surprised that there were a few Peruvian girls, women, expats who lived in Peru as well. Some diplomats. But they were like, oh, you should come and train on a Tuesday and come to the Lima Cricket Club. And I was like, oh, great, let me join this. And it was amazing. It was such a warm community. Everyone was so friendly. I learned Spanish. I did charitable activities. And I just had this sense of belonging, you know, like I felt I fit in somewhere. Whereas coming to Peru, it was very difficult just adjusting to a new country and a culture. So one day they came up to me like, oh, we're just going to Chile for a cricket tournament. And I didn't think any of it. And then my son was older. My husband took some time off. So I went to Chile. And I didn't realize I was playing for the Peruvian women's national cricket team. So I'm going there thinking this is just a little festival. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is the real deal. And I was like, but you know, I never really officially played club cricket. And yes, I followed the game and I reported on this as a journalist, but I never played professionally. And I'm like, what was I thinking? So there I was in a cricket pitch with the amazing, like the Brazilian women's team and the Argentine women's team. They're like really inspirational female cricketers. And just seeing the Brazilian team just coming down, I was like, I was batting and I just saw these Amazonian princesses, like warrior princesses hurtling down the pitch. And I was like, please don't hurt me. They were so strong, but they were so inspirational. And just being there on that cricket pitch was just surreal. It was a phenomenal experience. Like, I couldn't explain it. But they were all so friendly. They were so welcoming. I made a few friends. And they really showcased. They taught me how to be happy and to use cricket as that female empowerment tool. That no matter where you're from, no matter what you look like, and the Brazilian team is also a very diverse team as well, and there's some amazing, like Roberto, so there were so many amazing people in the team, and I was just so inspired. I was like, you don't have to be super active or fit or healthy, and you don't have to have this high standard of cricket. You just need an open heart and a positive mind and a good work ethic and just teamwork, and that's how we played. And so we represented Peru at the Women's American Championships. That was in 2015. That was my first international tour. And we played against like Chile, Brazil, Argentina, as I mentioned. And then the following year, in 2016, we went to Brazil, to Rio, and we won the bronze medal. So first place. So yeah, it's like obviously Argentina and Brazil always vie for that championship title. But to be there on the stage with it was amazing. So yeah, it really helped me, it developed me. And also back in Peru, what we were doing there was using cricket as a female empowerment sport. So, you know, Latina culture is, you know, objectifies the men a lot. Many girls don't want to come and get their nails dirty and their hairs, you know, tossed around. And football, why soccer or football is very popular. A lot of the female cricketers didn't really come up until we really went to the grassroots levels. Like we really told them, look, this is a female empowerment sport. Let's focus on body positivity, self-esteem, confidence. So through charity and charitable measures, I remember visiting an orphanage once in Magdalena, and it was just amazing just to see the positivity, the courage, the bravery of these women who had never picked up a bat before, but they were really doing something positive. They were making something for themselves, and they were doing something great for themselves. So I was really inspired to do the charitable activities, and I'm so proud to say that we only started in 2014, 2015 when we actually rustled up the team. From three Peruvian female cricketers, it's an all Peruvian girls team now. So it's really helped focus a lot on that grassroots level, coaching, charity, cricket, that kind of thing. So yeah, it was amazing.
You haven't talked about whether you were any good at cricket though at the moment.
I was not.
How did you go?
I was not the worst player. I was okay. I prefer bowling to batting, but I was number five. I was always number five, never opening, never the last, somewhere in the middle. But it was more than that. It was I loved this whole all-rounding experience. Like I love fielding. Like I would always help support each other. It was like assisting the ball. I was like, come, let's all rally around. I mean, you have to understand, Jared, a lot of them didn't have that culture like the way we were growing up. Like, you know, from a young days, okay, fine, I didn't play cricket, but everyone knew what cricket, I mean, know the rules of the game, the techniques, what they do, from watching constantly, from getting, you know, the TV dominated by just cricket matches. I think we were really lucky. We have this culture that was instilled or ingrained and flows through our veins. But Peruvian, especially the girls, they never had this. They never had even an ethic or a background of sportsmanship, you know, or sportswomanship or whatever you call that. But I think what was really inspiring was coming from those underprivileged backgrounds or the backgrounds that they, you know, that where they were also, it was stereotypically very, you know, women stay at home, don't come out, whatever. Yeah. But just bringing the girls from rural places, the underprivileged areas, was just amazing. And also the ones who were like, look, I can't get into the football team, I can't get into becoming an Olympic champion, but you know what, I can try and play cricket for Peru, and that would be really a good thing. So yeah, we're lucky we did that.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble.
Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So when do you leave Peru and come back to the UK?
So we didn't immediately leave Peru. My husband got a posting to Nigeria. We were in Abuja for almost 3 years up until COVID hit. But cricket is played there, but it's highly politicized. So I didn't want to get involved in that, especially as a British diplomatic spouse. It was a tricky time. And there was a Boko Haram war going on. So I just focused on education, charity, that kind of thing. But COVID hit in 2020, we found ourselves in Brighton with a few suitcases and had to make a life for ourselves. So yeah, my husband and I, and then my children were small, two boys. So you couldn't go out, you couldn't meet friends, you couldn't, have a proper social life. But I remember when the partial lockdowns and lockdowns were easing. I remember you could go to your local cricket club and you could play cricket and you could still, as long as you were social distance, that was still allowed, like partially. So so I was really lucky. I went to this local cricket club in Brighton, and then eventually we moved to Hove, Brighton Hove. So I ended up playing for Brighton and Hove, and then and then coached there as well. So. Yeah, and then there was a whole coach.
So talk to me about the coaching, because that's kind of the next step where you are now. So exactly. how do you become a coach? And, I know that you got a bursary from the Sussex Cricket Club. What's the relationship there?
Yeah, so Sussex Cricket Club and the Sussex Cricket Foundation were just amazing. They did a lot of these women's softball tournaments, and they did a lot of these girls only cricket camp. So there was a lot of, and I think it really inspired a lot of people to come out, because we were just coming out of lockdowns and sports was really highly promoted, even in areas like Crawley, which is like up in the border of Sussex, closer to London. So it was really nice to see the diversity, and the bursaries were actually for women coaches of color, people with disabilities, LGBT, that kind of thing. So Sussex Cricket, when they were doing these tournaments, they were advertising these bursaries. And I thought, why not? Why don't I give it a go? I love cricket and love inspiring young people. And also with my background in Peru, I thought this was the opportune time to do something. And you could go out there, socialize. I remember during COVID, I was lonely again. I didn't know anyone in Brighton, but my first friends were obviously at the Brighton Cricket Club. And so the coaching started a very, very kind of voluntary, just on the side. I remember starting with Dynamos and All-Stars, back then, Volcanoes and Cones or the Cone stuff. So I remember doing that. And then I was really lucky. I was very grateful. And I thank the amazing team there. They do such amazing work at Sussex Cricket Club and the Sussex Cricket Foundation. And I have to say, what inspirational people work there. So they gave me the bursary. So I got a bursary, and then I got my level one through them. And then after the level one, I coached at Brighton Hove Cricket Club, and I supported them with girls only half-term camps and just slot in whenever I can. I eventually got my umpire one and two certificates as well, so trying to umpiring. And then earlier this year, the Foreign Office, or the part of the Diplomatic Families, so it's called the Diplomatic Service Families Association, They're part of the Foreign Office, and they support all the spouses, ambassadors' wives around the world. And they gave me a full payment. They supported me financially to my level two qualification, because I told them, look, I want to help coach this Cambodian women's national cricket team and spread cricket. And they were like, yeah, by all means, do this. And that's, they were really happy to support me in some way. And it was also building a legacy in a country that really needed it a lot. Like, honestly, when you see the students and the kids who come in, they just light up, and cricket just brings so much joy to them, and they're so passionate about it, and they hit those fours and sixes. So it's been such an amazing journey.
Let's just stop there, because so you get your level two, and obviously you're in Cambodia. So when you go into Peru, you go into a system that exists, right? Yeah, and you help supplement it and everything else. When you go in when you're in Sussex and you're in Brighton and Hove, there's a system that exists. The difference now is that it sounds like you are making the Cambodian cricket team step by step. So take me through what Cambodian women's cricket was like when you first started.
Thank you. Yeah, good question. So the ICC, the International Cricket Council, they gave Cambodia associate membership in 2022. So they gave it. So at the beginning, there was no culture, no cricket, nothing. There were a few people playing. I think there were a couple of schools, but it was very close, behind closed doors, and not really like promoted. It was not promoted. So when ICC gave the associate membership to Cambodia, along with it, they came. They also set up a cricket federation of Cambodia. But the problem was, the cricket federation Cambodia didn't really. They needed to build this constitution from scratch. They had to build the rules. They had to do the rule book. And the person here, he's actually an Indian. He's from India. So initially, when they first set up the Cambodian men's national cricket team, it was a few Indians, people from Pakistan, India, and I think there were a few Sri Lankan men as well there. So now they have a few more. I think they have three basketball players now. But one of the conditions of the ICC associate membership was it was a mandatory requirement that they set up the women's team. They had to have the Cambodian women's national cricket team. So what happened last year was, in 2023, there was something called the Southeast Asian Games. So they hosted it for the first time in Cambodia's history. Last year, they hosted it. And they built this big stadium as part of the requirements of hosting the games. So on the side of the stadium, they also built the cricket pitch, which was also one of their showcase sports. They thought, okay, we're going to promote cricket now in this area, because the only country in this area that really is successful is Thailand, whereas countries like Vietnam had been applying for ICC membership for a long time, and they never got it. So they just have to have those requirements and the criteria in order to get ICC membership. So on the backdrop of the Southeast Asian Games, when ICC came from, I think it was Australia, they came to assess the pitch. It was like, okay, that was enough to get us get Cambodia membership. So then that's when the ball started rolling. They did rustle up a team, just Cambodian girls. They gave them some basic skills, but I'm really sorry. In the first round, they didn't qualify, which is really sad. And this was around about the time that we were coming into Cambodia. I had no idea about cricket at all, that they had got it. So eventually, when I started connecting with people and through word of mouth, they were like, oh, okay, this is great. We actually have a culture. We can build this culture. We have the membership status now, and ICC helping us and supporting us would also be good. But there was no dedicated kind of coaching culture. There was nothing of the sort there. So what I did was, I realized there was a need, and, you know, why have you can't just sit on a membership and not utilize it. You can't, you know, you need to use it, build it. And it's difficult. So I'm building grassroots level cricket, while the Cricket Federation, they're just doing their fixtures. They're doing ACC qualifiers, mostly the men's. The women, I think they did one in Philippines, or something like the Philippines team came over. But it's still just an exhibition team. It's not really real. It's a team that they rustle up for when a team come to play like a friendly. But the thing for me was, what I'm doing now, if I'm allowed to say, is the after-school clubs is the way I am using the cricket. So I'm doing a cricket program I'm also encouraging one of the really, really, it's a really good international school here. They've got the best cricket equipment in Cambodia. They've got everything. And it's Australian affiliated as well, so it really helps. I'm really encouraging them to open up a cricket academy because they have equipment better than academies in the UK. So hopefully that would be a start. And for now, I'm at three international schools doing after-school clubs regularly on a fixed basis, and also supporting their PE teachers so that if I can't make it or if there's a way for them to take over these clubs, that's what I'm doing. The international schools anyway have community outreach as part of their social initiatives and charitable initiatives. So what they do is they take their students, and part of those outreach programs also focus on bringing cricket or football and other sports into that. And my knowledge of Khmer or the Cambodian language is not good, so I'm really, and also it's a security protocol as well. As a diplomatic spouse, I can't really go into places where, you know, I'm not allowed. So through the international schools, I'm building this kind of charitable initiative to build that cricket legacy and then for them to go ahead and then diffuse that into the community. So, yeah.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So it's less about coaching the Cambodian women's team, and it's more about getting cricket in as many places as possible and spreading it. So, you know, what's your ultimate goal of what Cambodian cricket can be?
Yeah, well, that's very good. You know, I remember when Sri Lanka was having this war, and in 1996, who would have thought a small country with very limited resources? And a lot of the team came from very humble backgrounds. Whoever thought that in 96, Sri Lanka would win a World Cup? Whoever thought that, right? I mean, I know it's amidst controversy and everyone has something to say about it. But I think everyone was just, I mean, I think at the time when I was in Sri Lanka, I just felt prouder. Like I held my head up high and I was like, you know what? I'm so proud. And people actually respected Sri Lankans, I would say. So see, I don't think that, you know, it's going to be an easy road, Jared. I don't think it's not as all these projects go and all these charitable initiatives go. It's not like you wave a magic wand and there's, you know, an amazing cricket club. You have to start somewhere. So my hope is, I'm not thinking ahead like ICC, but at least an ACC, an Asian Cricket Cup qualifier or something. And I know someday, you know, there might be a good team that we can be proud of, or hopefully in my lifetime. And you never know. I mean, the main thing is if they participate on an international stage, that would be something. That would be a good motivation. But, you know, the thing with Cambodia is it's got so much going on, so much positivity. They use the negativity here as a catalyst to succeed. And having that generational trauma, I mean, you know, the war, it was quite recent that the war ended. And people were massacred. And it was like, how could, and everyone's got a story about the Khmer Rouge in their lives. And I'm like, channel all of that negativity into some positivity. Maybe like when Sri Lanka, you know, during the Civil War, won a World Cup, maybe something like that could happen. I'm very optimistic. But you're right, you have to start somewhere. And this is what I'm hoping to do with the legacy. And then hopefully it'll build itself up. So we'll see.
It's an incredible story. And I'm sure that you'll be doing something like coaching Martians next thing. You'll be on Mars or something, colonizing and spreading cricket there or some other thing. It really is. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and discussing it with us.
Yeah, no, thank you, Jared. Thank you so much for having me here. And no, it's been an absolute honor and privilege to do this. So yeah, and good luck to you, to Cambodia, to everyone. And yeah, I hope the future is optimistic and positive. So thank you.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.